That Great Business Show, Ireland's best business podcast.
ThatGreatBusinessShow.com is brought to you by DeFacto Shaving Oil, the best anyone can get. Made in Ireland, sold worldwide.
Welcome to episode 98 of That Great Business Show, posting on the 29th of July, 2022. Foite d'Esther, I am Conal O'Moran. Some really big news to start with. We are delighted to say that That Great Business Show has been nominated for the Irish Podcast Awards Best Business Podcast, a testimony to all the great people who've been helping the show since it started almost, very close to, just 2 years ago. And they include the original co-host, rugby legend Jamie Heaslip, other sometimes co-hosts, Susan Spence and Vincent Wall, our sponsor, Tom Murphy of De Facto Shaving Oil, Paula Fitzsimons of Going for Growth, who has made sure that we have gender parity on the podcast, the marketing team of Mavis Ulton Africa, and of course, many, many more, including the great, great team here at Dublin South Podcast Studios that gives us a winning sound on every episode. Also, and nothing to do with me, but lots to do with Ethna Sweeney, the business founder who sailed from her now home in New Zealand to her old home in Mayo in a little boat, and who joined us on episode 96 to hear about her company, Wires Uncrossed. Ethna has been on to me to say that her LinkedIn post telling the world that she brought her toddlers to our studio has now been viewed by nearly 15,000 people, many saying very nice things about the podcast. We try to make it easy for founders with families to join us by doing a little bit of babysitting while the entrepreneurs chat to us in studio. And on this episode, we have found another great Irish company that wants the world to eat crickets. Yep, the buggy things. And I believe they're going to make me eat one too. And they've managed to build an international business out of such things. And US company Yelp has shut its offices in Chicago, New York, and Washington as its CEO, Jeremy Stoppelman, calls hybrid offices the worst of both worlds. Well, the jury is out about whether it's home office or home office. So we're joined by someone who has skin in the game to find out what's really, really going on out there.
That Great Business Show, Irish Podcast Awards 2022, Best Business Podcast nominee.
So to my first interview, when asked what the vision was when husband and wife team David Scrivens and Carmelia Conway set up Willow's Ingredients in Ashford, County Wicklow, the answer was one that every entrepreneur would and does identify with. They just wanted their food ingredients business to survive. And that was back in 2007, during one of our regular Irish recessions. And survive it did. They actually turned over €850,000 that first year. And they now employ 30 people with offices in the UK, Germany, Belgium, China, Ukraine and Portugal. Most recently, Willow's has signed an exclusive distribution partnership with Crickets One Asia. I'm sure you're all familiar with that company, also based in Vietnam, who want us all to eat crickets. It's that, or we starve, I'm told. And the man who says this is David Scrivens, co-founder of Willow's Ingredients. Welcome to That Great Business Show, David Scrivens.
Thank you for having me on the show.
You are based in Ashford, County Wicklow, but you certainly were not born there.
No, I wasn't, Conal. I moved over to Ireland in 1999 from my hometown of Wolverhampton in the West Midlands. And this is where I met my wife, Carmelia. She was from Clane, Kildare. And together we set up a business in 2007, Willow's Ingredients. We felt the opportunity.
Now, how did you know or why did you think that there was an opportunity in food ingredients?
Because we'd both operated within the food, pharmaceutical, chemical background for many, many years. And we felt that the opportunity was just right. We identified that the big market for joint care products. And so we decided that we would go out on our own.
But you also told me when you did go out on your own that some nights you sat on the bed or wherever thinking, what have we done?
Exactly, Connell. Exactly. And I think it's the same for anybody who starts a business, because we started off with the support of Bank of Ireland. I must give them a mention at this point, because we presented a business plan to them and they had faith in myself and my wife, and they started off with a 25,000 startup loan and a 10,000 euro overdraft. And we began.
But you didn't just begin. In your first year, turnover, 850,000 euro.
Well, it was hard work. It was hard work, but we had some very, very good customers who put faith in us.
That was 2007. There are people listening at the moment crying, saying, how did he get that kind of turnover? Is there something I'm missing? Is it just a high turnover business?
It's a high turnover business in as much as some of the products we sell are high value, but it was more the fact that we applied ourselves and dedicated ourselves to the success of the business, because, as I said, this was our livelihood. And if we did not put the effort in, then we had no livelihood. It's a very, very simple fact of life. So,
as every and any entrepreneur, founder, or call them what you will, business person will attest,
yes,
it's either make it or break it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then you continued to thrive. But not alone that, but you immediately, from what I understand, went overseas because you had to.
Yes.
Where was your first market?
Our first market was in the UK. We had business in Ireland, but we felt that our products, the biggest expansion, would be the UK market. And that was before the good old times of Brexit.
We'll get on to that in a second. I know that that has caused you some heartburn or heartache.
Absolutely.
And then from there, did I see that you also have, which I didn't mention, do you have a warehouse in the Netherlands to add to the list?
Correct, yeah? Correct. So we started our business in the UK and we started employing people in the UK. We're a family business, so there's three members of our family in the business. So we have Lavina, Derek and Philip in the business, and they are all directors.
That means that there are five, because five. You and Carmiglia makes
and my
five.
Wife. Exactly, exactly. And they were significantly part of our success, both on the commercial side, the sales side, and on our handling and expanding our personnel, HR and marketing side.
You look like a very honest person to me. So you're going to tell me the truth when I say working with family, particularly with your kids, it is not always straightforward, not always easy, because there's dad or mum's way and then there's the kids' way.
Correct. There's the business way and the personal way. And we've had our moments, we've had our disagreements, but we've all tried and been very successful to maintain our personal relations with the common goal of growing the business. And together we've built it. And that's an achievement, because nobody can attest to say that it was any individual. It was a team.
Well, what is the secret when things are a little bit testy?
Yes.
What have you done? People are listening now saying, you know, I'm working with my son or my daughter, my whatever, and things aren't going so good. What would you do? Have you got a mentor, for example? Do you have mentors?
Yes, I have a mentor. I have a business coach who we employed, who I'm able to turn to. Because sometimes when you're leading a business of 30 people and multitasking, sometimes you can't see the wood for the trees yourself. So sometimes you need somebody to talk to. And so I have that myself. And also as a family, we were able to see each other's point of views most of the time. At times,
Dad
and I
says,
would be the
I'm
guilty
right.
part.
Child says, I'm right.
Yes, well, I've been guilty of that many a time. And I think over time, you've learned that you're not always right all the time.
Correct.
Yeah.
So UK was very successful for you. And part of that is because I do notice that one of the things that you repeat and repeat and repeat about the approach of Willows, and it's plural, Willows ingredient, that honesty and talking to your customers, huge for you.
Exactly. We identified through our business knowledge and our industry knowledge that a lot of customers were experiencing, I would say, particularly from larger multinational companies, the lack of personal attention and personal response. And as you mentioned right at the very start, we were, both the UK and Ireland, entering, in fact, globally, a recession period, and quite a severe global recession at that particular time. And most of the businesses were cutting back on staff. So when a person within the company would probably have two or three staff in that department, now there was only one. So when they asked you a question, they wanted to be guaranteed that you would go back to them within a period of time, 24, 48 hours. If you didn't have the response, you went back to them and you told them you didn't have a response as yet. Could you ask for more time? And because you were guaranteed the answers, customers trusted us. And it's that same mentality that we adopt within the business today. Fast response, open, honest responses, and they gain the customer's trust.
Who taught you that in the first instance? Where did that come from?
I think it was taught all through my life, through the upbringing that I had as a child, that first of all, put people first, put people, other people first, and then they will learn to trust you. I've always been an advocate of on time, arriving to work on time, trying to lead by example. Don't ask others to do something that you're not willing to do yourself.
You were very early for studio here today. And thank you.
But it's that kind of example. And then people follow that example and people trust that. And it was instilled in me from a very young age to do things and to act in a way that you would want people to act towards you.
Give me a description of exactly what you're doing in the business these days, because now you're not just into human nutrition, you've also gone into animal nutrition as well, correct?
Correct. So we have two facets of our business. We have the human nutrition, which encompasses supplements and capsules, powder blends.
And you're not actually making them, sure?
No, we're not. We import the products. So we believe it or not, 90% of the global ingredients that we use within the human nutrition, animal nutrition, are manufactured outside of Europe, mainly China or India.
90%.
That's the way the world has developed.
90%.
Sorry?
90%.
90%.
That is a lot.
That's a lot. It is a lot, unfortunately. And we're seeing the repercussions of it today. But that's a geopolitical answer.
Well, interestingly, I note that, and I don't know whether it's still open, you've got a unit or you've got an office, or you've got something in Ukraine.
We had an office in Ukraine. Oh, well, God, we still have a presence in Ukraine. We still sell to Ukraine, and we bought a lot of products from Ukraine. The person, our office in Ukraine, we decided to move that the people to Poland for safety. And now that person is living in the Netherlands. But we still are active. In fact, even today, we have a truck picking up product from Ukraine for our customer in the UK. So
effectively, as I understand your business, you are an ingredients broker?
A distributor. That's the official title. We are distributor of raw material ingredients for the human and animal pet food markets.
And you are concerned, like so many of us, about what's happening in our seas. And you are now putting a big, big emphasis on collagen, marine collagen.
Correct. We work with Vinhon, a large fish collagen manufacturer from Vietnam. And the benefits of Vinhon collagen is that they have their own fish farms. They are the largest processor of the pangasius fish in Vietnam. So they breed their own fish. They have their own feed mills to feed the fish. They have their own ponds. They have their own factories for slaughter. They process the fillets, sell the fillets, and the skins go to make fish collagen.
And have you been out to see this?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I was out in the factory in 2018.
I presume it is vast.
It is a huge processing factory. A huge processing factory.
And I presume the ponds and all of that, I mean, it's enormous.
Enormous. Probably, I forget how many exactly, probably about 20, 25 ponds the size of football pitches.
Each one?
Yeah, each one.
Okay, yeah. Big.
Massive, massive.
And that is to supply, obviously, a world market. So what do you do with the collagen that they send you?
Okay, we sell our collagen to people who make beauty supplements. So we have customers in the UK. One particular large brand, Absolute Collagen, uses our collagen to make their own brand of collagen shots. They also have a collagen shampoo.
Everyday accounting can be a bit of a drama for SMEs. However, BigRedCloud.com takes the drama away with its simple and easy-to-use cloud-based accounting and payroll software designed for SME owners. Raise and send invoices, manage VAT reports and obligations, run management reports, link directly to Irish banks, automatically import purchase invoices, and so much more. All with five-star customer support. BigRedCloud.com, 100% Irish-owned and a proud member of Team GBS.
Viscosity. When you shave, you want the highest viscosity because it helps the blade run smoother. DeFacto, the world's best shaving oil, has incredible viscosity. That's why DeFacto leaves your face, underarms or legs nick-free. Higher viscosity makes blades last longer. DeFacto is the best for your skin and your pocket. DeFactoShave.com.
All that great business show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
Let me ask you a kind of a fundamental question. Why would they, Absolute Collagen, not go directly to the manufacturer?
It's because we offer a service to them in terms of importing products that are made from animal origin into the UK and into any European market is extremely complicated. It's extremely difficult in terms of documentation and paperwork. If you're a brand selling organization, you don't necessarily possess the skills or the knowledge to handle the operational side of the business. So we, Willow's Ingredients, offer the complete operational side, the logistical side, the warehousing side, because they want to be supplied in just-in-time quantities. And given the global issues that we've had with shipping and the delays that we've all experienced, having that just-in-time benefits are very difficult if you were buying on a direct basis.
Did I see in the notes that I was given very kindly by yourselves that the shipping costs are actually dropping?
They are.
That's the first time I've heard that, yeah?
Yeah, they've dropped from a peak. They've dropped from a peak of 12, 18 months ago. We have seen some movement, but they're nowhere near the levels that we found in 2018, 2019. But they have dropped from a significant peak of 12, 18 months ago.
This is the piece that I was dreading. I am now going to eat some crickets.
Okay.
Because this is your latest thing. Now, I am in front of me, I have a little bowl of, okay, I don't know, it looks like ground up wheat
flour.
A bit, or something like that. And it's got a kind of peculiar woody taste, a smell off it.
Okay.
Am I getting the listeners
encouraged? Like a nutty taste, I would
say. And it's actually not bad.
Okay.
It's...
How would you describe?
It's like a... Do you know what it's like? It's like that kind of a malty... isn't there a Kellogg's...
like an all brand.
An all brand. That's exactly what it tastes like.
Okay.
I can't say I'm a fan of all brand, but that stuff there is not bad. That is the future. I've just eaten cricket, have I?
Exactly. You've eaten ground cricket powder. High in protein, 90%. And this is why what we see for the future of our company. Because if we look at the debate that's happening, say, in Ireland right now, where we're debating emissions, reducing carbon footprint, reducing emissions, reducing CO2, and we compare that to feeding the world and the world's population that is forecast by the UN to grow from 7.5 billion to 9 billion by 2050. If we look at the housing situation, both in Ireland and globally, at some point, agricultural land will have to be taken to house people, this increasing population. And if we look at global warming, we see droughts in areas that never had droughts before. We see flooding in areas that we never saw flooding before. We see land erosion. All of these factors point to the fact that we have to consider the amount of beef, poultry, and in particular fishing, because we're overfishing our seas at this moment. If we want to feed an increasing population, then we will have completely overfished the sea.
So, go back to my crickets.
Yeah.
What will be made of that? What will I be eating that I didn't know I was eating cricket?
Okay. Well, the first and obvious market which you wouldn't eat would be pet food. So the pet food market is one that we're targeting at the very start. But the across Asia, Japan, USA, there's pasta, there is biscuits, there is...
Made out of cricket.
Cakes made entirely of cricket powder. Protein bars, that's a classic example where you want a high protein bar, but people don't want to, or you're looking to replace the animal protein that goes into a protein bar, then cricket flour is an absolute perfect opportunity.
I presume, and I don't know, that 5 or 10 years ago you knew nothing about crickets except that they sit on grass and go clickety, clickety, click. Now I presume you know an awful lot about them. How many crickets are in that bowl in front of me, do you think?
I would say about 20, 30 ground up crickets.
And how many crickets? I don't even know the words for this. Is it a cricket farm or
yeah.
Where are they? Are they farmed?
There's cricket farms, and the turnaround of a cricket from a larvae to processing is 45 days. With the patented technology that Cricket One Asia has put in place, the carbon footprint of a cricket, the amount of emissions that they...
I'd say the footprint of a cricket must be very, very small.
Exactly. But the carbon footprint compared to cattle, like beef, pigs or chicken, is, I think it's about 100 times less carbon footprint for a cricket. So if we're looking to... We're having two poles of a spectrum. One, to increase herds of beef, cattle, pigs, poultry to feed an ever-increasing population. And we're having the pole in the other right direction to reduce our carbon footprint and emissions. They're like two magnets going together, but in different polars. They will never unite. So as the world grows, we have to look at alternative protein sources. And they're out there. There's plant proteins, which are very popular. And now we have to look at insect proteins.
And did I see that you have signed an exclusive agreement? How did a small, you're 30 in number, Wicklow-based company get an exclusive with that Asian company?
Okay. Although we're a smallish company, we have a presence across Europe. And so... Cricket One Asia.
It's a great name.
Ricky Nguyen, the founder of the company, and myself, we introduced via LinkedIn, and our conversations have grown and grown. We've had plenty of Teams and Zooms meetings together, and we share this passion for where the world is going and where the world will be, and how although cricket flour doesn't appeal to us Europeans, Irish, at this moment in time.
Which we won't know if it's baked into something anyway.
We have to make some kind of plans for the future.
Yeah.
And the future will be in insect like cricket powder that allows us to get the proteins, feed the world. Our passion for this, for the product, and Cricket One's Asia gaining novel food approval by the EFSA, the European Food Standards Agency, was critical to their presence in Europe.
And that took 3 years.
3 years.
And €200,000.
Exactly.
For one food.
Exactly.
Whoa.
This is the requirements of the European Food Standards Agency, and the same for the Food Standards Agency of UK. Before you can launch a product onto the market, it has to be proven to be safe for human consumption and also of a health benefit. So you have to submit scientific dossiers, scientific data, scientific tests to prove the authenticity of the product and also the safety of the product. And that takes over a 3-year period with the EFSA. Not all applications are successful. So you can spend this money, spend the time, and still be unsuccessful. So Cricket One Asia submitted the dossiers, and this year they were approved and certified for novel food by the EFSA.
So you have your exclusive on this particular cricket, this particular form of cricket. What is it going to do for your company, Willow's Ingredients?
It will position us into a new area of growth for the company. It will take us into the future of more into the sustainability. We started off with Vinhone, with their sustainable collagen from their own farm fish. And this was a natural progression into another area because we sell animal proteins at the moment. And we see so much talk about animal proteins, plant proteins. And we wanted to enter into the space of sustainability for the future and also feeding the world in a sustainable manner. Not only feeding, but also giving nutrition, which is, you see, so you can have food, but you can be malnourished. So we want to make sure that the food is nourishment, and protein is the big word.
And briefly, you're also going into black flies.
Exactly. The black soldier fly. Yes. The black soldier fly is, again, a new concept mainly used in the pet food market.
Oh, good. I don't have to eat that. Good.
No, but they are. No, you're not going to eat any biscuits today, but maybe next time. But the black soldier fly, there will be more and more developments in the coming months and coming years as technology improves to put that into a human application and human consumption. So the space, crickets and insects in Asia have been eaten for thousands of years. It's nothing new. The Japanese market is huge. Chinese market is huge. Korea is huge. That concept has taken the US by storm. Now that we have the novel food approval by the EFSA, and the Food Standards Agency of the UK, we are expecting the European market to follow in the Asian and US markets and adopt crickets, insects as a source of protein.
And how big will that make your company?
It's very difficult to quantify. But
what's the dream?
Okay, what's our dream? Well, we want to be number one in Europe because by this launch, Cricket One Asia are the largest manufacturer, non-EU manufacturer of cricket powder. So they're the global presence. They're constantly adding more and more farms. So our dream and our intentions and our strategy is for Willows to grow into the alternative protein space and be a large global player in this market, and to give people protein and give people what they want with alternatives for their diet instead of the traditional meat proteins, Now the plant proteins, now people have the opportunity for a insect protein and obviously grow our business and hopefully make us some money. Let's be honest.
That is what it's about. Final question we always ask all our lovely guests. Who would they hire in a heartbeat? So who would David Scrivens hire in a heartbeat?
Okay. There's a number of people that come to mind, but one in particular
You'd like to have a few if you want.
No. But there's one in particular, he's Bear Grylls.
Okay.
I heard Bear Grylls. I watched a lot of his TV programs, and I was privileged to listen to Bear Grylls as a guest speaker at one of the Alltech One conferences that they hold in Kentucky every year, about 3 or 4 years ago. And the inspiration that I gained from him, that he's on a personal basis, he has so many injuries and so many adversities. And some of his achievements, despite numerous objections and pitfalls and barriers, he always has that determination to succeed. And he always succeeds. And I think that inspiration into the company would be, if you could find 1,000 Bear Grylls in the world who have that determination, I think he's an inspiration to me, and I'd love to have him in the company.
And he might bring you out into the Wicklow Hills, and maybe you might get lost there, but he'll find you again. Bear Grylls, yes, you are hired for Team Willow's Ingredients. I think they would love to have you. And if Bear is listening, we may find him somewhere. We'd love to have you on That Great Business Show. David Scrivens, thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Thank you for having me.
Thinking of travel? If so, make sure to make Defacto, the world's best shaving oil, your choice of travel companion. A 25-milliliter bottle of Defacto means no hassle at airports, no bulky cans to carry, and the guarantee of the world's best shave. DefactoShave.com.
Everyday accounting can be a bit of a drama for SMEs. However, BigRentCloud.com takes the drama away with its simple and easy-to-use cloud-based accounting and payroll software designed for SME owners. Raise and send invoices, manage VAT reports and obligations, run management reports, link directly to Irish banks, automatically import purchase invoices, and so much more. All with 5-star customer support. BigRentCloud.com, 100% Irish-owned and a proud member of Team GBS.
All That Great Business Show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them.
That Great Business Show.
There's an awful lot going on in the office space market across the country. In Dublin, Twitter is downsizing its office space, and Facebook owner Meta has put the fit out of its massive 8,000 person HQ in the old AIB HQ in Dublin city centre on hold. I mentioned at the beginning that the Yelp boss has decided that hybrid offices were the worst of both worlds as they shut down some of their largest US offices. And meanwhile, I get constant reminders from various Leos and other bodies, including Udaros Nogatokta, that they have flexible office space of one person or many persons may go into, available almost anywhere in the country. I'm joined now by a man who knows an awful lot about office space. However, I hope he doesn't walk out on me when I say he's as daft as a brush. I say that because Andrew Lynch, co-founder of Huckletree, runs ultramarathons in his spare time. And most recently, he ran the Marathon des Sables. That was last October. And wait for it. If you don't know what that entails, it can get to 56 degrees centigrade of North African heat, running 250, or he's just told me 300 kilometres in 6 days. We'll talk about Huckletree in a moment, but first, Andrew Lynch, welcome to That Great Business Show. Why? Why do you do it? You're a nut.
I'll take it as a thinly veiled compliment.
No.
Give me something.
You just told me that it's like running on, well, hot glass.
Yeah, well, look, thank you for that introduction. I'll try and step up to it. I think, look, people forget that ultra running is, I didn't start off doing that. I started off doing nothing, which is typically where people start with this. And it the grow for it typically grows over time. I, you know, the first foray into running really was only 2018, early 2018 after...
Hang on a second now. You started 2018, and when did you run this ultra zippity-doo marathon?
Would have been 2021, last year, yeah.
Oh, when you say you started in 2018, what were you doing before that?
I think I played rugby at a relatively decent level all the way through school and early 20s.
But tell us, did you win the Senior Cup or something?
I wasn't on the team, but
What do you mean you weren't on the team?
I was in the extended team. I wasn't on the panel. But
I'm sure I could claim cups of, if only they chose me for the team.
Yeah, exactly. No, we did win it my year, but I played a small part, but not I didn't get on the pitch. But no, I think, look, from my perspective, the longest I ever run pre-2018 was 5K. Yeah. So and begrudgingly and with difficulty. So
that's some turnaround.
Yeah, I think my dad bod was slowly but surely growing into itself, and I decided I need to do something here. So I signed up for the Dublin Marathon. So I did 42 kilometers, relatively respectable time in my head. And then got off that. I was having a beer that night and said, well, you know, my OCD kicked in. And I said, well, look, if I can do 42, I can do 50. So I went back to London, living in London at the time. I signed up for a 50-kilometer run in Surrey. I got lost on that. So it turned into the 54-kilometer run in the dark. I actually came over the finish line backwards. As in, not backwards myself, but backwards. I went down the wrong road and came at it backwards. And then pretty much at Christmas that year, I said, well, look, you know, let's bite off something with a bit more of a bit more difficulty. Stumbled upon this online and signed up for it in maybe early to mid 2019 on the basis that I would do it in April 2020. And of course, we all know what April 2020 is famous for. So obviously COVID hit in March, 3 weeks out. So having done my big 12, 14 month prep, I was the fittest I'd ever been. I was, you know, in pretty good shape. And obviously it got cancelled, got pushed out to June. And then subsequently then it got cancelled four more times. So I had to train for it.
Oh no.
Because you can't stay in that condition the whole time. So yeah, I had a very patient or impatient wife, however you want to look at it. But had a baby in the meantime and all of that stuff. So yeah, another one.
I won't even ask how you found the time, but anyway, that's a different story.
Patient boy.
Moving along, to be fair, you raised €35,000 for MS Ireland.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, no, it was a pretty... I think the time, people were pretty sick of me fundraising by the end of it. I thought I had 6 months to raise, but ended up having over 2 years.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Now, we're not here to talk about you and your running, as I mentioned. I am here to ask you all about Huckletree. For those who do not know what Huckletree is, you have one unit on Pier Street, which I have been in, which I love very much when I do kind of MC and events like that. Gorgeous place. It's got a real nice vibe. Yeah. But that's not the only one you have.
So we
four in London, have you?
Yeah, so four in London, Shoreditch, Soho, Westminster and White City over in West London. And then one coming down the tracks in London, another one in London coming down the tracks hopefully pretty soon. And then Manchester. Yeah, so depending on when this goes out, hopefully we'll have those two.
It's going to be tomorrow morning.
Amazing. Yeah, so we won't. But
and the business model is pretty straightforward. You buy building, you set building, and then you rent or let building, yeah?
Yeah, so at the moment we haven't bought any specifically. So we are renting directly from kind of landlord partners. You know, that may change in the next couple of years. But at the moment...
I mean funding. We'll get back to funding in a second.
But yeah, on a you know, very prescriptive basis, where we take on baseline buildings, redesign them, make sure.
What does in your world a baseline building mean?
Well, just a kind of a blank page commercial building. So, for example, when we took on, Dublin was a little bit different. We took that on after Twitter vacated, so that was the old tech heritage of Twitter. So we kind of inherited that.
And it's a lovely building.
And it's fantastic.
It's the Academy Theatre or whatever it was.
Yeah,
it was a cinema, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was. Yeah. And I think any old taxi driver driving to Dublin always gives me the history of it, which is really great. But yeah, fantastic facade, but also fundamentally quite practical as well. So that's kind of the baseline model. We you know, obviously use our experience to turn it into something that fosters as much creativity and as much kind of extra communicative stuff that we can do between members. And then obviously put the Huckletree secret sauce on top of that.
But members means that they pay you either by the day, by the week, by the month, by the year. And they can also use rooms which are called, let me remember, Class, Crack, Slointe, and there's another one, isn't there?
There's the Lookout as well, which we obviously ran out of names, clearly. That's the one with the view.
And the idea is to create a community, because anybody can, you can move into anybody's office and pay them rent or whatever, but you it's your secret sauce.
So I think the baseline model, as you rightly point out, is very functional. It's very flexible, which completely aligns with usually the types of businesses that we look to attract. Early stage, quite innovative, growing, all of the normal venture-backed that you'd expect venture-backed businesses.
But do they have to be, or is that, you know, that's probably your desired tenant?
So we have a bit of a, you know, we call it like a curation model. We learned very early on that actually housing a load of very, very early stage startups and founders probably isn't the route to take, because they all typically have the same problems. And of course, if they all have the same problems, they're all just in a room.
Yeah,
exactly. But equally, what we've learned along the years is that there is a bit of a matrix to how we build the perfect community. And of course, the matrix needs to involve early stage businesses, but also the ecosystem around those businesses. So whether it's legal advice, accounting advice, HR, hiring, people expansion, fundraising is obviously a huge one, certainly now, maybe a bit more than it was last year or the year before. And also just cross geography, just the ease, the back office, as boring a word as that sounds, that the back office ease of allowing us to take off the management of a workspace and their team, to allow them more time to get on with growing and succeeding across their business. So the functional element of what we do is not dissimilar to a lot of our peers, but the community element and how we package that community together to the betterment, if that's a word, of their members and their business growth. That's where we, you know, we sometimes say we ride on the coattails of the success stories coming out of Huckletree, and that's how we deliver value.
And the we are talking about includes you and a lady called Gabby.
Absolutely, yeah.
Where did the idea come from?
So Gabby actually was working in film. So she was an actor by trade and was working in New York for a couple of years and came back with this, you know, having seen a couple of workspaces not dissimilar to ours.
When you say back to London.
She came back and, you know, we had a pretty open and frank discussion and saying, actually, you know what, I think we can probably do this better.
And what was your background?
So I actually came from a private equity advisory business called Cambridge Associates, Cambridge, Massachusetts, as opposed to UK.
And obviously had a long career in rugby as well.
Yeah, exactly. All of my non-medals. So going way back, I came out of school in 2006, actually ended up down in Waterford, did quantity surveying down there, and then ended up doing a master's degree in London, which is how I ended up in London, in real estate investment. And then ended up at JP Morgan for a while on the real estate team and found myself in private equity, as you do. And I got introduced to Gabby actually through Gabby's husband, Antoine, who is a venture capital investor in London. And I pulled him aside one day and I said, look, I'm really bored doing what I'm doing. Want to loosen the tie a little bit and get into something more operational. And that was the seed that all of a sudden, you know, sprung Huckletree. Gabby was doing it for a little bit before me. I came in about a year into the journey. Yeah, within kind of a month, we had our second space identified. We went on a fundraising route to raise the first bit of capital to be able to execute on that plan. And yeah, you know, 7-8 locations later.
But you are not alone in that business. As I mentioned earlier, just in Ireland, it has literally maybe even the last 6 months, the thing that any small town, any almost village has office space available. And as I mentioned, Udder also promoting their GTECs. And do you wake up in the morning and say, oh God, this is difficult?
I suppose, look, you know, sometimes the best things in life are difficult. So I think I wake up in the morning saying everything's difficult, but you kind of try and get by. I think from my perspective, it's a positive. I think, yes, there's lots of operators springing up, but that's because demand is increasing exponentially. So, you know, we have one space in Dublin. The goal is to have more of those across Dublin, Manchester, London.
We'll go back to Dublin now.
Yeah, yeah.
When will we see the second or the third Huckletree?
I don't know. So I can't say.
What does that mean? You don't know. I mean, are you working on something at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're probably working on five things in Dublin at the moment.
And as I mentioned, Twitter, Facebook, all of these places are beginning to pull back their horns in a pretty big way now. And I saw that the Twitter building has an unused top floor or something. I presume that fellas like you have straight down there and say, we could use that.
You're going to make an introduction to Johnny Ronan? Yeah, I think things like that are hugely valuable to businesses like ours. Any disruption, I'm a big believer in, you know, you need to capitalize on market turbulence as and when. It's been all gravy all the way up pre-COVID. COVID was, Gabby and I joke about it being our kind of two-year MBA in all things crisis management.
Well, now let's go into COVID and say, I mean, COVID just meant you shut down, did it?
Yeah, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Well, there was nobody could go in, I presume, into your place, could
yeah,
they?
Yeah, so we kind of pride ourselves on the fact that we stayed open. The biggest thing about us is that there were some members that...
You call them members?
Yeah.
Is that a fancy word for tenants or...?
No, well, again, if the goal isn't to collect rent off them and the goal is for them to be part of a community, well, then it kind of makes a bit more sense to call them members. I mean, fundamentally, they're not tenants. They don't pay rent. There is no lease, so... Again, that benefits both parties. It's rolling. It's very, very flexible. And yeah, we see them very much as members rather than our clients or customers.
Sorry, I interrupted because there was COVID hits.
Yeah.
You stay open. But who could go into their offices? Or was that not banned? I can't remember. It's so long ago now. Or
yeah,
well, nobody remembers anything.
Yeah, I mean, in a weird way, like we have a couple of banks that... you know, for the vital running of society needed to be in place. Certain GDPR issues meant that a lot of businesses couldn't operate at home functionally. They weren't able to execute payroll. They weren't able to use client data. They weren't able to process client calls, etc. So, you know, that's the easy bit. And fundamentally, some people just felt that they had to come in. Mentally, they just didn't have a place at home to be able to carve out. They were eating where they were working, where they were writing, where they were thinking, where they were reading, you know. So so there wasn't any specific mandate for us to lock our door legally. So as and when we could, we absolutely obliged and allowed our members in. To be fair, most of them were in there without our own team being in there, because obviously we're a business in and of itself. So we didn't want to be putting anyone at risk or breaking any laws or anything like that. So they were mostly the longer term members that that fundamentally asked us and just needed a bit of a dig out, to be honest.
So tell me, since you are obviously well steeped, you're not quite the full 20 years in the business yet, but you know your property business. What is going on out there? And I told you about that fellow from Yelp who says that hybrid is the worst of both worlds. What do you believe is going to happen? I hear other people, in fact, I was talking to a person yesterday who told me that she would not work for an organization that made her go into the office more than 2 days a week. So what's going on?
I think this is a bit of a difficult one because clearly you have to, you know, you have to realize what side of my bread is buttered. So clearly you have to take what I say with a pinch of salt. From what we're seeing on the ground, at the very least, is Mondays and Fridays are dead. I think a lot of people are being given flexibility. And that's in the face of, as you just put it, you know, people are voting with their feet. There's essentially a revolt over the last... 6 months, 12 months post kind of, I say post COVID, slightly tongue in cheek, but post lockdown at least. And I think it's been a buyer's market. It's been a seller's market out there. Employers have had the confidence over the last, say, 12 months to be able to, put in demands like that and it's great that that person you reference has the confidence to be able to do that. But what I would say is that a lot of people don't have the confidence or experience or, you know, purchasing power, so to speak, to be able to actually demand those sort of things from their work from their employer. So whilst people have been able to say that, over in the last 3 or 4 weeks, you see some of these bigger businesses, big tech businesses, certainly kind of FDI type businesses in Ireland, slashing jobs. So in an instance where there's now increased competition for those roles and people maybe aren't as confident about being able to make those demands, I think my view is that I think over the next, say, 12 months, as potentially the economy starts to take a bit of a tumble, as some of the businesses aren't as forthcoming in terms of hiring, in terms of salary increases, people will need to differentiate themselves. And often that differentiation could be the person in the office, the person rubbing shoulders with the boss, the person having conversations at the coffee counter.
Okay, I see where you're coming from. That it was a long journey,
It
makes sense to me. But about your business, because what you just told me, Mondays and Fridays are empty. So that gives you 3 out of 5 days of business. Now that must have an impact.
Yeah, I mean, we sell a product that allows you 10 days a month. So actually,
Which is the more profitable one? You must have your little grid.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think they're kind of symbiotic, to be perfectly honest with you. I think, you know, for example...
Did you also sell a day pass?
We do, yeah. We do. And they're getting more popular as well. And that's ebbed and flowed along the journey over the past 7 years. We had day passes and then we pulled back from day passes because they were actually just a lot of administrative work and people just didn't use them. And now we're back to day passes again. So I think that's evidence of, you know, like big corporate landlords just fundamentally, whether COVID happened or not, just can't be that flexible. Whereas we've always been that flexible. And again, one thing to remember as well is a lot of the businesses that we would have had over the years, they've always provided that flexibility with their workforce anyway. So for 60% of our members, this isn't new. What is happening is that some of the types of customer that we wouldn't have typically seen, the 50, 60, 70, 80 person teams, might now be operating on the basis of a reduced in the office time. So that goes back to the three of 5 days or whatever. And then they come to us looking for flexibility on a 20 person studio. So actually, we're not now, you know, always catering for the same size business, but nothing changes for us. We still have a 20 person studio. And yes, they might not be in on Mondays and Fridays, but what we're seeing now more of is almost a mandated return in some capacity to a Monday and a Friday. Yes, you can work 3 days a week, but one of those days has to be a Monday or a Friday. And what we're seeing on Mondays and Fridays specifically is more all hands, more all team meetings, followed by drinks and nights out and stuff like that. So really trying to get back to a human touch and a personal experience in the workplace. So people are, and certainly founders and executives, are really, really pushing to get people back.
Okay, that's really interesting. Now, funding, because you have big expansion plans and you're going to have to raise a ton of capital. And I didn't know that whole background to you, that you had your expertise or your experience back in those days. So the funding is not going to be a problem for you at all. How much do you need?
Well, it's a good question. I think we've raised something like 12, 13 million to date. So we haven't, in the big scheme of things, we haven't actually raised a huge amount of cash. What we have done is position ourselves really well to make sure that as an operator, we're delivering a really, really top quality product to both our existing members, but also, what people forget, another big stakeholder is our landlords and our property partners. One thing we're doing a big pivot towards at the moment is having to raise less cash, apply less money towards the fixtures and fittings and fitting out a building. And instead of being a de facto tenant to our landlords, essentially being a partner to them. So most of the buildings now we're actually looking to expand into are essentially kind of we're the operator, as opposed to we're the tenant that has to fit out the building and spend loads of money on fixtures and fittings.
Does that mean it will not be, or your buildings will not be as funky as they are, because the design is lovely? Who actually does that design for you?
It's very much led by Gabby.
Yeah.
We
well done, Gabby.
Yeah,
nice.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think We've evolved over the years. If you were to go to some of our spaces that we've opened in 15 and 16, they look very different to the ones we opened in, say, 19 or 20. And that continues to be an evolution.
Is that because they're cheaper? They're cheaper fit out.
You know, we all have to hustle sometimes. So, no, I think, look, it's a bit of a mixed bag. They certainly were, slightly cheaper, but not buckets amounts, but yeah, that is always going to be a bit of give.
Now, as I was telling you, we have been nominated for the Best Business Podcast, so I better ask you the hard question. You still haven't told me how much money you're going to raise. Please tell me so that I'll have an exclusive and we'll win the prize as Best Business Podcast because you told me how much money you're actually going to raise.
I'm going to let you down here. Well, it's not even the number because we don't necessarily, I skirted around the question, but...
You certainly did.
Politics, here we go. We don't need to. And you know, people forget fundraising is a means to an end. Fundraising, you have to give away part of your business. And people really, really forget that. It's all good and well to get your name in lights on, you know, fundraising, but I'd prefer to announce huge profits rather than huge fundraising.
So you'll just go into debt, will you?
Well, no, I think we need to use it. We need to use debt accordingly. Thankfully, we have a couple of really great investors on board who have backed us all the way. And through COVID, thankfully, we didn't need to. We managed to go back to our existing landlord base and structure things and make sure that we were being super diligent on costs and all of that good stuff. So, yeah, we don't have any, to be honest, we don't have any fundraising plans.
That's
probably a good thing.
That's my exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. Now,
I have a multi-headed question before we go to our last question. Yeah. One is, when will we see more Huckletrees in, not just in Ireland, but are you going to go across? Would you go into Cork, Galway, Limerick?
So that was part of our plan pre-COVID. I think we've had to step back and really assess where the demand is. It's great to see operators spread their wings and go elsewhere. My parents are from Limerick, so there's always going to be a Munster draw, but again, speaking openly, we don't have any specific plans right now. Dublin's very much on the radar. It's a well-trodden path for us. I think there's huge dynamism in the market as well. I think, as you point out earlier, there's lots of operators popping up, but equally, you know, if you start a cafe and open up a cafe on Leeson Street, you know, it might have different coffee or it might have a slightly different vibe to it. So the trick is to differentiate in the market and attract a different customer. So
this will mean absolutely nothing to you because of your youth. But you know what happened quite recently on Leeson Street? The last nightclub, which was Buckwheelies, shut down.
Oh,
gone.
No.
So there is no more nightclubs, as far as I know, on Leeson Street. Once upon a time, there was nothing but. Come here to you. You are going to tell me, Andrew Lynch, who would you hire in a heartbeat?
That is an extremely difficult question. I always joke that that, you know, you should always hire much smarter than yourself. A slightly cheesy answer, but I would hire my dad.
You better give him a name.
David Lynch. He's a very famous name and he's not a film producer.
Twin Peaks.
I was about to say, as a kid, we used to change his ringtone to the Twin Peaks. But he doesn't look like him either. But yeah, my dad is a corporate lawyer for years and years. And he's helped a huge amount as well on the Huckletree side, both on the expansion side and, you know, structuring agreements, but also being a bit of a consigliere as well, as and when, you know, if you think about it, he's the only person you can trust entirely in life.
Tell the truth. Has he invoiced you? He can't but invoice you. They're just, their DNA says invoice first and then do the business.
I think I have a very large stick to hit him with as and when those things come up. But yeah.
David Lynch, of which firm is he with, or is he on his own?
He works at a firm on Pembroke Street called OBH Partners.
Well, David Lynch of OBH, you've just been hired.
Exactly.
So that is Andrew Lynch, son of David Lynch, who is co-founder with Gabby of Huckletree. Thank you so much for joining us on That Great Business Show.
Everyday accounting can be a bit of a drama for SMEs. However, BigRentCloud.com takes the drama away with its simple and easy-to-use cloud-based accounting and payroll software designed for SME owners. Raise and send invoices, manage VAT reports and obligations, run management reports, link directly to Irish banks, automatically import purchase invoices, and so much more. All with five-star customer support. BigRentCloud.com, 100% Irish-owned and a proud member of Team GBS.
Viscosity. When you shave, you want the highest viscosity because it helps the blade run smoother. DeFacto, the world's best shaving oil, has incredible viscosity. That's why DeFacto leaves your face, underarms or legs nick-free. Higher viscosity makes blades last longer. DeFacto is the best for your skin and your pocket. DeFactoShave.com.
All that great business show advertisers are Team GBS approved. Back them. That great business show, Irish Podcast Awards 2022. Best Business Podcast nominee.
And that's it from That Great Business Show, episode 98. A special thanks to Andy Cooper, who lined up Andrew, and Gaurav Mahagat also to Maura Lavelle, who did likewise with David Scrivens. My little reminder about how to share this podcast seems to be having an effect. All you have to do is to drop the link you're using to listen to this podcast right now into your WhatsApp and then spend the rest of the day WhatsApping it to those in business that you know will benefit from the insights we bring you. Do it right now because you'll get busy and then forget. Also, ask yourself, why isn't your business advertising with us? Great companies like Big Red Cloud, Microfinance Ireland and Virgin Media do. Your business should do likewise. And we record here at the Dublin South Podcast Studios, where today's sound engineers, in the plural, Alison and Mark, will be joined later on by studio manager Peter Royce to create the sound that helped us win that Best Business Podcast nomination. If you want to record a podcast, use the team here at Dublin South Podcast Studios. They're very nice. And if you'd like the media group to produce a podcast for your business, then talk to me, Conal O'Moran. Find me on LinkedIn, easiest place to find me. And all of these great business insights and tips are brought to you, as always, thanks to our sponsor, and that is DeFacto Shaving Oil, the world's best all-natural shaving oil. They back us, please back them. DeFactoShave.com will get them. And don't forget also to buy your Business Plus magazine, where we now have a regular column all about the podcast. So from me, Conal O'Moran, mila buíochas for listening, agus slán tamall.